is Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel's Solid Rock.
Let every family find faith in the Father's love. This is where it begins. This is our cry, this is our song, Jesus the way. We find our life in Him.
As Jesus states these words about Daniel's prophecy, he speaks in a future tense, not a past tense. And he says, when you see this, you need to run. That's the time to run. And so, it seems that though it was a good picture, and though someone certainly did do that, it doesn't seem that's what the prophecy is pointing toward. And it definitely isn't what Jesus is pointing toward. And so, now the question is, has anything happened since Jesus said that we could point to and say that event has happened? Has the abomination of desolation happened? Well, no.
When we read Scripture how Jesus is coming soon, it's natural to look for signs and wonder, just how soon will it be? Today, Pastor Troy takes us through passages of the Bible that address the rapture and tribulation, particularly the things Jesus told his disciples. Although we may not know exactly when, we can prepare. Now, make sure and stay with us after Pastor Troy's message. I want to share our contact information with you, as well as how you can receive a free copy of today's broadcast. Now, here's Pastor Troy with part one of his message entitled, You've Been Warned.
We're covering ground, and we go through the Scriptures, and we are where we are in the Scriptures. And Jesus is giving some prophetic warnings to his disciples, and warnings that are meant to be passed down. Speaks of these things coming upon the world like birth pangs. You know, contractions or birth pangs are a sign that that which is anticipated to happen is going to happen. It's about to happen very soon. That's why you go into labor. You go into those contractions and you know, okay, get to the hospital. It's upon us. Well, Jesus has been explaining that his second coming will be ushered in by birth pangs. It's as if the world will go into labor suddenly. These are signs that will anticipate, point to his second coming. The more intense, the more frequent they become, the more you know the time is short. The disciples have just pointed out to Jesus how impressive the temple is. They saw the temple being there and being so beautiful and majestic as a sign that God is blessing us. We're in a good place. Look at this, baby. But Jesus responded by saying, this whole temple is going to be destroyed. Not one stone is going to be left upon another. And that kind of confused them. And so they asked Jesus a couple of questions. Tell us when these things are going to be. And what's going to be the sign of your coming? I mean, when is this going to happen? What's it going to be at the end of the age? Because they thought that it was going to happen pretty soon. But if he said the temple's not going to be there pretty soon, then it confuses them about, okay, well, what's going on then? When is this all going to unfold? What's going to happen? And we now find ourselves right in the middle of Jesus' answer. So if this is your first week here, you missed last week, we're in the middle of that answer. And he's telling them what they should be looking for. Though it is specifically directed toward them and toward the Jewish people during the time of the tribulation, it's something that affects all of us, because it'll affect the entire world. He said that there will be wars and rumors of wars. Now, he said, but this isn't the end. That was important because not too long from now, they're going to hear wars and rumors of wars as Rome comes and destroys them. He says, this isn't the end. He goes beyond that. He says, no, nation is going to start to rise up against nation. And he says, there's going to be deceptions and pestilences and earthquakes in various places. And these, he says, will just be the beginning. This is just the beginning of it. So don't think it's coming right now. I'm not going to return right now because all this has got to start taking place. He told them that false prophets will arise and that the love of many will grow cold. And speaking specifically of this time that would come before his return, he said that the witness, the gospel, would go to the ends of the earth. And we know that in that time of that 7-year period we call the tribulation, that there will be 144,000 Jewish witnesses for Christ. Converts that God seals and protects. Now, you know how much damage Paul the Apostle did on the world, right? Can you imagine 144,000 Paul the Apostles at that time? And so the gospel will still go out even during that time. Then there'll be the witness of those who do come to faith. Many will die, and maybe that will serve as a witness. We know Stephen's death served as a witness for Paul the Apostle himself. And then there'll be an angel proclaiming the gospel from the skies. When all of this chaos and all these weird things are happening, just one more weird thing added to the equation, an angel proclaims to the world this gospel. At a time when it seems to be the hardest to believe, when there's the greatest deception, God will give the greatest opportunity to believe. Have you ever heard someone say, you know, if God would just write it in the sky, if he would just send an angel and proclaim it, then I could believe. He's going to do that. And guess what? Still, most of them don't believe. So that excuse will be cast out too on the last day of judgment. Well, if you'd have just sent an angel, did that one too. And nobody really repented. They cried out to the rocks, save me, rocks. So now we pick up where Jesus gives a key. There's a transition. We hit now the middle part of the tribulation on. And Jesus speaks to that time period now. And he gives a key event that will be a sign to those who are living during that time that it's time to head for the hills, because it's going to get really, really bad. If the first part of the tribulation wasn't scary and eerie and weird enough, the second half, run, because it's going to get real bad, worse than the world has ever seen. And so we pick up in verse 15. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Notice Judea, he's speaking to the Jews. Flee to the mountains. Let him who is on housetop not go down to take anything out of his house. And let him who is in the field not go back to get his clothes. But woe to those who are pregnant and those who are nursing babies in those days, because their flight is going to have to be so quick. That's going to be something that weighs you down. It's hard to travel fast in that condition, but you're going to need to. He says, and pray that your flight may not be in winter, difficult to travel, or on the Sabbath. Again, everything closes down on the Sabbath, speaking to Jews. For then, at this time, there will be great tribulation, such as not been since the beginning of the world until this time. No, nor ever shall be. And unless those days, speaking of this time, were shortened, no flesh would be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. Now, Jesus mentions an event that will happen which kicks off the second half of the tribulation. We call it the Great Tribulation, or the time of Jacob's trouble. It's going to be a time of intense trouble in Jerusalem, in Israel. There's going to be so much hatred, so much anger, so much war, so much pillaging. We read last week that it's going to be a time of great distress, especially focused in that area. And he says, whoever reads, let him understand. The idea is this. It's not going to happen right now, guys. This is something that someone is going to have to read this and heed this. It's going to be a group that wasn't standing here listening to Jesus say this. They're going to be a group who's going to get this information, this book, this gospel. And those who read this need to understand. They need to heed this. He's saying by reading the prophet Daniel, who spoke about the abomination of desolation, as well as Jesus' words here warning about this time. Those who read it, those who believe it, they will begin to be able to make sense of things that are going on. And he says, flee. It's getting real bad at that time. The event is referred to as the abomination of desolation. Three times in the book of Daniel, he mentions the abomination of desolation. Daniel describes it as a time when Jewish sacrifice is removed. Someone stands in the place and exchanges, sets up an idol. We don't have the details, but there's idol worship, and then there's an unacceptable form of sacrifice. The abomination that causes desolation, or the abomination of desolation. Now, Alexander the Great conquered the known world by the age of 33 years old. On his deathbed, at that age, he divided everything up and left everything to his four generals. One of those generals' names was Seleucus. Seleucus, or the Seleucid dynasty, in that dynasty arose a leader whose name was Antiochus the Fourth. And this man was an evil man. This man was, because of the strife between one of the other dynasties left behind by Alexander, was constantly at war, and by the time he came into power, his dynasty had owed a lot of money from retribution money because of the wars and because of being defeated. And so, being an evil man, hating the Jews, seeing himself as, or trying to impose himself as, the god in manifest, Zeus, the god, he had a hatred for the Jews because they didn't want to worship him and he wanted the worship. But he also had another motivation, was they had a lot of gold in the temple and he owed money. And so he came in, he saw an opportunity, he came in and really laid waste to them. He, in about 168 BC, surrounded Jerusalem, attacked it, killed 80,000 Jews, sold others into slavery, claimed the temple for Zeus, set himself up, put an image of Zeus in the temple, and demanded that the image be worshipped. On top of all of that, if that weren't enough, he took the place of sacrifice and slaughtered a pig, the most unclean animal in the Jewish eye, on the altar, and then kind of let the, obviously, the blood drain where it was supposed to be holy, touching and defiling the altar of God and smearing some of the blood or the oils around to kind of de-cleanse the temple or to cleanse it for the sake of Zeus. Well, the Jews, knowing the scriptures and the prophecies, knew that or assumed this was the fulfillment of that, that this was the abomination that causes desolation. Now, some today who don't believe in a tribulation period or who don't believe in a coming Antichrist or say that, you know, we don't need a temple for, you know, God just going to come back and establish himself, and they just don't believe in the whole end times scenario. What they will often do is they will point to this event, this Antiochus the Fourth event, and say, see, that prophecy has already been fulfilled. Okay, now stay with me here. The question is, has it? Because Jesus, when he says this, that event that happened with Antiochus happened long before Jesus walked the planet. And as Jesus states these words about Daniel's prophecy, he speaks in a future tense, not a past tense. And he says, when you see this, you need to run. That's the time to run. And so, it seems that though it was a good picture, and though someone certainly did do that, it doesn't seem that's what the prophecy is pointing toward. And it definitely isn't what Jesus is pointing toward. And so, now the question is, has anything happened since Jesus said that, that we could point to and say that event has happened? Has the abomination of desolation happened? Well, no. When Rome came in and destroyed the temple in 70 AD, you could see that as very bad, but they never set up any idols. No one ever claimed in the temple to be God. They didn't defile the temple. They didn't sacrifice. They simply destroyed it. And since then, there's been no temple anyway. And 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 gives us some insight into what we're to be looking for as well. It says, "Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, the second coming, and gathering together to him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God." So an Antiochus-like person, can that person ever arise? Well, absolutely. We saw it in Antiochus. But he will place himself in the temple, and we can expect that there will be a temple again for this to happen. You could say, well, that doesn't seem like it could ever happen. But let me tell you, right now in Israel, the Temple Institute is a group that has gathered together, and they are preparing for the rebuilding of the temple. They believe that it will happen, and they believe it's going to happen soon, so soon that, we think, well, there's no more events. The rapture could happen at any moment. The Temple Institute believes the same thing about the temple could be built at any moment because everything that needs to be done has been. For instance, they already have identified and trained priests. They already have it in place. They're ready to go right now. They've practiced the sacrifice system so that they could reestablish it and do it the right way. They have clothing and articles right now. I've seen them. When I went, I got to visit the Temple Institute in Israel to see them. We couldn't touch them. They're behind glass. You can't be there and touch them or anything. We would defile them. But they're there, and they're made according to the specs. They're ready to outfit the priests right now. They're ready and waiting for the right time. Perhaps the time when a man will rise up and somehow bring peace. Sign an agreement, and nothing would bring more peace than for Israel to be able to build their temple and for the world to accept it. And that would bring some serious peace. So there's going to be a man who rises up, and someone will be able to accomplish this. That temple will stand. But 3.5 years into the deal, the scripture seems to declare that it'll be a 7-year peace agreement or 7-year term. 3.5 years into this peace deal, the world leader will break that peace deal and set himself up as God to be worshipped. When that happens, Jesus says, when you see that happen, run. Head for the hills. It's going to get so bad. In Revelation chapter 12, verse 6, we read about a woman in great distress. This woman had given birth, and then we know that the picture is the woman represents the nation of Israel. The child born was the Son of God, the Messiah, who ended up being raised. But then the woman had to run and flee. And in Revelation chapter 12, verse 6, we see that she had to flee into the wilderness where God prepared a place for her and cared for her. And it says 1,260 days or 3.5 years, the last half of the 7-year tribulation period. We can see all of this stuff unfolding before our very eyes. It's happening the way the scriptures say it will happen. Verse 23, he says, then, speaking of that time, Then, if anyone says to you, look, here's the Christ, or there, do not believe it, for false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. See, I have told you beforehand. Therefore, if they say to you, look, he's in the desert, do not go out. Or look, he's in the inner rooms, do not believe. This is speaking specifically of the last 3.5 years. There's still going to be deception and deceivers at that time to deceive even the elect. Those who are trying to hide from the big guy, there's still going to be others out there. Oh, the Messiah is over here. The Messiah is over here. Here, this guy will save you. To deceive even those who are trying to hide from the big guy. There will be more deceivers than just the deceiver. It's like Satan during that time will be pulling out all the stops. Oh, don't like him? I got a lot of stuff going on to deceive in this time. There's going to be so much. And he says, don't go out in the wilderness. You know, John the Baptist isn't coming again. Don't go out in this place. It's going to be so chaotic. So confusing, so much deception. Many false Christs will appear during this time. And it says, with great power. There'll obviously be a great demonstration of power going on anyway by the Antichrist, the false prophet. But there will be even others with these so-called powers to even deceive, even the elect, if possible, if that were possible. But not everyone will fall for this display in the temple. And that's why many other deceivers will be around. I know maybe we've just imagined the whole world to go, I love this guy, and they will. But not everyone is going to accept a man who stands and says, I'm God at that time. There'll be many other deceivers. Those deceivers will not have accepted him. There'll be others looking for someone else, and they'll be deceived by the deceivers. And it's going to be a very, very chaotic, confusing time. And if you don't know the Bible, if you haven't been able to read this, like Matthew says, if you read this, understand. And if you don't understand, you're going to be confused. And you're going to be lost. The world will be in panic mode. Everyone will be seeking to be saved. But they won't find it. And Jesus says, I've told you beforehand. In other words, I've warned you in advance. Make sure this is passed down. May those who follow be prepared. You know, don't think that you can put off salvation. You do not want to enter this period of time where it's going to get very, very confusing. It's going to be very, very difficult. God is faithful. And the gospel will continue to spread, but most who, except for the 144,000 who are sealed, most will have to die for their faith. You think just being rejected for your faith is bad. They'll be killed for their faith. And for a long time, we wondered, thinking about beheading. Beheading for you? How archaic is that? That's obviously written from a perspective where those things happen, but we don't do that. Oh, is that so? It's happening right now. It's coming back and it's making a mad comeback. And so all of these things that used to be impossible or seem so improbable are not so unlikely right now as we have a clear picture of things unfolding. Another temple. There was a time when many said all the promises that were for Israel are actually for us because there is no Israel anymore. They don't have a nation. And then in 1948, lo and behold, there they are, a nation.
Well, that's all the time we have for today here on Building on the Solid Rock with Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel Solid Rock. Don't forget to join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through the Gospel of Matthew. You can listen to or download any of our messages in their entirety by visiting our website at buildingonthesolidrock.com. At our website, we also provide information about our beliefs, service times, as well as directions to our church. If you'd like to get in touch with us, you can simply email your questions or comments to info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. We'd love to hear from you. Again, that email address is info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. If you're in the San Antonio, Texas area and would like to visit us, Calvary Chapel Solid Rock is located at 17018 Silverwood Drive in North Central San Antonio. Thank you for being with us today. Please join us next time as we continue our study through the Gospel of Matthew.
Let the light of Christ shine as we grow in Him. Come have your way in us. Come.